That's the Zach Brown Band and Loving You Easy. I said we'd be having somebody popping in from the Brentwood Gazette, and we've got someone in from the Brentwood Gazette, and it's Simon, who's not been on this show whilst I've been presenting. Is that right?
That's true, yeah.
So I've been doing the show for about 6 months, and then... Must have been before that then. Must be at
least
6 months
ago. It was Mike Porter, I believe, when I was last on, which apparently was a very long time ago.
Well, I think I've been doing this show probably about 6 months now, so it must have been before that, obviously, that you were here last.
Well,
did he give you a bad time? And did you bottle that coming back?
I promise I didn't. It's just the way things go.
Yeah, because he's very hard on his guests, Mike. I know that for a fact. So what we do is every Tuesday we have a little chat about three of the key stories in the new edition of the Gazette, which comes out first thing on a Wednesday morning. And three very interesting stories here. Did you write all three of these, Simon?
I did, yes.
So you've been busy.
I understand that you're quite keen to put us on the spot, so
no,
I thought I'd have more of a chance of my stories.
Who told you that? I was only teasing. So quite a heavy front page headline here. Man blinded as burglars make escape. That sounds pretty horrendous.
Yeah, well, this was a burglary in Worley, as you say, sounds pretty horrible. Two people broke into a house with the occupiers there, a couple, and sprayed something, we don't know what, into the eyes of the man who was temporarily blinded. We understand he's all right now. But
did the man in some way provoke that attack, or did they just do it because they had the stuff there and they were going to use it anyway?
I'm guessing so. I mean, you don't go with that sort of stuff to spray in someone's face if you're not planning on using it, I suppose, do you?
Unless you're going to use it in more of a defensive way, but, you know. I suppose they knew. This was quite an elderly couple, I take it, was it?
The police don't really want to identify the couple, so they haven't given us any sort of pointers. Obviously, it must have been a horrible experience for them. But, a couple in their house and burglars break in and... silver lining, I suppose, is that they didn't get off of anything because the man actually fought back and
even though he'd been sprayed with the stuff.
Even though he'd been sprayed with the stuff.
Good for him.
Yeah, but all the same, must have been a pretty harrowing experience for both the couple.
So, he wasn't permanently blinded, it was just a temporary thing, yeah?
Yeah, by the looks of it, which is obviously good, but, it's scary when you hear about these things on your doorstep.
It's awful, isn't it, yeah. And they haven't caught them, of course, yet. Have they got many clues, do you know, to work on?
It doesn't seem like it. I mean, obviously, read the story and read the descriptions, and hopefully you can help out, because obviously, in these sort of situations, someone must have seen them and around the time. So,
What sort of area was that? What sort of geographical area was
it? It's in the Avenue in Worley, which is quite a long road, so it's a little bit vague. Cause obviously
Well, hopefully somebody can come forward with some information.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah.
And this is an interesting human interest story. Parents helping the fight against Lily's extremely rare conditioning. We were having a little chat about this before we started talking on air, weren't we? And I'd never heard of it before, and I don't suppose you had either. MECP2 duplication syndrome. Wow.
Mm.
That's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it?
It is, I don't think anyone would have ever heard of it. I certainly hadn't ever. It's very rare. And that's one of the problems for families who are affected by it. They struggle to get the funds for the research and stuff into it, and they have to. And a story about Katie McCarthy lives.
It's interesting how it affects girls and boys differently. You were saying.
Yeah, so the McCarthy family are lucky in that Lily, their 3-year-old daughter, is a girl, and therefore it really doesn't affect her at all compared to boys.
So she carries it. She's kind of a carrier.
She's like a carrier, yeah. But it is hereditary. Basically, if she had a child, it would be a sort of 1 in 4 chance that a child would have it as well.
Mm.
And if she had a boy, it would be a lot more serious.
So this is the problem. It's not so much that she's got it; it's whether or not she carries it forward to her kids.
Particularly if
it's a boy. If it's another girl, of course, it wouldn't be a problem, I guess.
To any potential son, it could
be.
Yeah,
it's funny how it
really
affects boys more than girls. Obviously.
Very strange. Yeah. And that's why her parents are, really wanting to raise awareness and funds so more research can be done, because they say that it's quite promising at the moment with the research that has been done, that it could be cured or reversed once it's diagnosed. Yeah. But obviously they need more funding to do that.
Well, of course, this girl, Lily, if she becomes pregnant, obviously she can be scanned, I suppose, can't she, before the baby is born?
Yeah.
And if it's a boy, there would then be a chance that he would have this syndrome passed on to him, but not 100% chance.
No, I think the research says it's around a 1 in 4 chance. Mm. But, I mean, it's still obviously quite...
But they could pick that up, I suppose, in the womb, couldn't they, if he had that?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think that's how Lily was diagnosed. Yeah. Possibly.
Okay, so that's a sort of a nice, promising story. The third story is another kind of depressing one, really. Because I used to do stupid things when I was a kid, don't get me wrong. I used to pinch apples, I remember, from farmers' orchards. That was a pretty dastardly crime in my day. And we used to walk around on top of gasometers, these big containers that used to contain gas, and they'd go up and down according to how much gas was in them. But, you know, it makes me angry when... Because these are probably all retired people. This allotment society's shed has been... vandalised, yeah?
Yeah, well, I'm really sorry. I promise there are some nice stories in the paper this week, but I've brought the mood down a bit, haven't I?
So Lily was quite uplifting, I thought. quite an uplifting story, in a way.
Yeah, sure. Obviously this one, the trading shed which they use to sell gardening supplies and stuff to the allotment holders at the Park Road allotment, which is a big allotment community. It's all very sort of community based. Everyone mucks in together, but unfortunately they've had the shed completely trashed by someone, which is
yobs, probably.
As you say, pretty depressing.
Am I allowed to say that? I think I can. Can I? Yobs, yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So did the people who run the allotment, they also own the shed, do they? And everything that's in the shed?
Yes, yeah, so it's owned by the Brentwood Horticultural Society, which is not just for allotments, but, you know, it's that sort of gardening and stuff. And they own the shed and sell stuff out of it, which the society owns.
You say that the shed was trashed. I assume they... took the stuff, any stuff that was in the shed as well, did they, or not?
It doesn't look like they stole anything.
It looks like it was
just for the sake of smashing it up, but they had all sorts of chemicals, which rather than nick, they just
made a mess,
threw it around everywhere, and apparently it was pretty horrible to be in there, and people, because they now have to clear it up as well, which is another issue.
And the shed, of course, must be quite expensive. I assume it's insured, but nonetheless, obviously it's going to affect their insurance premiums.
They say all in all it's about £2,000 worth of damage, which to a small society like that,
it's a lot of money.
It's a crippling amount of money.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's up to catch them. So those are the three of the main stories in the new edition of the Gazette, which is out tomorrow. First thing tomorrow morning. It's £1, and it is jam. There's just three of the stories there. Of course, it's jam packed full of stuff. Mm. And you've got what I quite like are those community pages where you've got about 2 or 3 pages, and it's just all the small villages and a little bit for each village. I like that. It's quite a nice touch.
Yeah,
I come from a fairly small town. You see, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what your local paper's for, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
I've got these things, all the local events and stuff. It's important to get out there.
And of course, I've got to mention it. There'll be something about Phoenix FM in there, so if you want to know who's doing what show, I mean, you know I'm doing this show, don't you? You haven't forgotten that, have you? No. But if you want to know who's doing the breakfast show, Mike Porter, or the morning show, or whatever, there's a listings page in there for all the Phoenix FM programmes. Simon, thanks ever so much for popping in to see us.
Thanks for having me.
Don't forget that paper's out first thing tomorrow morning, the Brentwood Gazette, and it is £1.